Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 for our scripture reading this morning. Romans chapter 8, we'll finish reading through the chapter, starting with verse 35. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for loving us. Thank you that nothing can separate us from your love, even though we really don't deserve it. Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we just ask that your blessing would be upon the remainder of our time as we study these verses. Be with Pastor Craig as he teaches, and be with our hearts and our minds as we just learn under the teaching of your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dave. What a powerful, powerful passage this is. Last week, as we ended there in verse 34, we talked about a few questions that Paul asked, to which the answer of each is the same. Who can stand against the believer? Who can bring a charge against us? Who can condemn us? And the implied answer to all of these questions is no one can. No one can do any of these things to God's children because Christ saved them. He saved them from those things. He saved them from their sin. And he did it through a demonstration of love. And again, love is a key element of our passage today. But back in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says there, it talks about this demonstration. It says that God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. The love of God is demonstrated through the salvation from sin that he provided through the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son. And it is received through faith in what God has done for us. In fact, in Acts 16:31, it simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Well, the conclusion of chapter 8 asks one more question. And that is, and I'm just going to sum it up here, is there anything at all powerful enough to cause the child of God to be separated from that demonstration of love? Is there anything that could separate us from our salvation? And this time, the answer is not implied, but stated directly. And here it is, just summed up again. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I'm just going to give you the conclusion right now, okay? We're not going to go home, but I'm going to give you the conclusion because this is going to follow through the rest of our time this morning. Here is why nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is because it is not our love for him that secures us. It is his love for us. It's his love for us. Look at the beginning of verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It is his love for us. I'm often reminded of what it was like to have small children as I watch those of you who have them. All right. I see what you go through. I see the little things that you have to do to protect your children. Last time I was in Zion National Park, as we walked one of the trails there, it was one of the less daunting trails, but there are areas of the trail that have a, you know, maybe a 50-foot drop-off. And as we were walking that trail, there was a family, a couple actually, with a couple small children with them walking this easy trail. And what I noticed is the parents had a death grip on their children. They had the hand of their children, and they had it hard while the children themselves were doing this. Get stretching out as far as they can to get as close to that danger as they could. And that's not unchildlike, is it? Children wander. All right. Now, here's the question, though. Do you suppose the children love their parents? Sure, no reason to believe otherwise. But was it the child's love for the parents that kept the children safe, or was it the parents' love for the child that kept them safe? It was the parents' love for the child. The parents' love. And so it is, really, with God and His children. We can be assured of our safety, our security in Christ, because nothing can separate us from His love. And this morning in our passage, Paul gives us an exhaustive list designed to prove just that. It appears to be broken down into two all-encompassing categories, all-encompassing but connected categories. In fact, I'm just going to give them to you. They are all dangers in all dimensions. All dangers in all dimensions. And right in the middle of our passage, we are told, yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Meaning, regardless of who or what or to what degree of opposition we as believers may face or encounter, nothing that happens can separate us from that demonstration of love, that salvation that God has so graciously given to us. We are more than conquerors in all these things, according to our passage. And our subject this morning is our conquest. Our conquest from Romans chapter 8 and verses 35 through 39. And this, by the way, is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, in particular when I have wandered. Even in my failure, because of Christ's love for me, I am yet safe. And this is what we have in Christ. And as a result, we are secure in all dangers. That's our first category this morning. We are secure in all dangers. Let's read verses 35 through 37. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Our verse begins here with the word "who." Okay? And that word actually in the original language can also mean "what." So we are talking about an all-encompassing thing here. But in keeping with all of the previous questions that Paul asked in the previous verses, the "who" is probably pointing to the author of all danger, Satan himself, who brought sin into the world and is the root cause of all of the trouble that people face in this world today. He is against the believer, trying to charge us, wanting to condemn us. So with that, we are given a list of dangers here that the believer might encounter, perhaps simply because he is a believer. Dr. Tony Evans, he's really a doctor, I'm not, okay? He is also the pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas. And in his book, Kingdom Man, he talks about the impact that his father had on him concerning his enduring faith, continuing even in the face of trials, growing in the face of adversity. And he says that his dad came to receive Christ after being invited to church by some friends. And he didn't just accept God's salvation, he immediately became an evangelist. Whenever my dad wasn't working, he'd take me along to pass out Bible tracts on street corners. If I went downstairs to get a glass of water late at night, oftentimes I would see my dad reading his Bible or just simply on his knees praying. He goes on and he says he had to do it when my mom wasn't watching. She did everything that she could to make his life miserable. He says she didn't like him as a sinner, and she liked him even less as a saint. He said, but my father did everything he could to show her love. When my mom would start in with him, he would stop whatever he was doing and secretly pray for her right on the spot. He says, one night, my mom came downstairs with tears in her eyes. My dad was reading his Bible. She told him that she could not understand how the more she rejected him, was unkind to him, and tried to prove that believing God was wrong, the kinder he was to her. And it was that night that she told him, I want to have what you have, because it must be real. And he says that night they got down on their knees, and she trusted Christ. He led her to the Lord. And then he goes on to say that he led all of us kids to the Lord too, and modeled the value of making God the central focus in all that we do so that we can endure the trials of this life. I believe that is why God, I think, allows dangers in our life. In verse 35, we are given a list of dangers that could, in a time of weakness, cause the believer to doubt, to deny, or possibly even reject his Lord and his ways. But none of these things will separate us from his love, from the salvation that he has so freely given. In fact, the conquering part in all of this is that God in his love not only keeps us secure if we fail, but also gives us the strength to endure and even grow through those dangers. The love of God never forgets us no matter what we are going through in this life. Therefore, as the passage says, we are secure in tribulation and distress. And I'm going to lump some of these together that are similar here, because both tribulation and distress mean being in a tight place. One means being under pressure. The other one means being surrounded. And these are things that all men, whether believers or not, might go through. And that kind of made me think of temptation. Temptation, being enticed or perhaps pressured from external sources to do something that is wrong. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul tells the believer there, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with it will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. But whether we as believers are victorious in conquering that tribulation or we fall into it and give into it, it cannot separate us from Christ. We are secure. We are secure in persecution and sword. Both of these words are in direct connection to the danger of being a believer in an ungodly world. Paul could speak about this from personal experience. Never may one feel so alone, and so forgotten in this world than when he is being persecuted. In fact, weeks ago I read about the pastor Saeed Abedini, who is the pastor who is currently in Iran in prison for preaching the gospel. In fact, he originally was going to be killed over that. But the article was describing this sort of thing. The headline read, "American Christian Pastor Imprisoned in Iran Fears Supporters Have Abandoned Him." While that may or may not be true, no matter how weak he may feel, no matter how he might fail God because of that doubt, God has not abandoned him. He is yet secure in the hands of God, and God wants him to grow through this. We are secure in famine, nakedness, and peril. Famine is, of course, the lack of basic food for sustenance. Nakedness is the lack of basic clothing to protect us from the elements, and peril is danger in general. The lack of having a safe place to be. But even in those circumstances, we are safe. We are cared for in Christ. We are secure in all threats of physical death. Look at verse 36 again. It says, "As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Pardon the pun, but we can endure. We can endure because Christ made us secure. Verse 36 is a quote from Psalm 44, and it describes enduring any and all dangers for God, even in the threat of death. Why is that true for us? Because Jesus, God's Son, endured that for us, so that we could be secure. Listen to a couple passages here. John 15:20, Jesus said, talking to his disciples, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." In Matthew 8:20, Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." That could be us. In Isaiah 53, 6 and 7, it says, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he was led as a lamb to the slaughter." And in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He goes on and he says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." We can endure because Christ made us secure. And we can endure because Christ made us a conqueror. I told you I'm not a poet, all right? Look at verse 37. "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." More than conquerors actually means super conquerors, unconquerable. That is what we are and have in Christ because of his love for us. God does not shelter us from the dangers of the world, but we are more than conquerors in those dangers because of God, in his love. He can take even those things, even our failures in those dangers, and use them to grow us. No matter what danger we may face in this life, no matter what circumstances we may encounter that may even cause our faithfulness to waver, it is not our love for him that secures us. It is his love for us. And because we are secure in all dangers, Paul says this, in verses 38 and 39. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because we are secure in all dangers, Paul now says that he is convinced, he is persuaded, he is sure that we are secure in all dimensions. These two verses describe extremes so that everything in all dimensions is included, or maybe better put, excluded. None of these things can separate us. I have a piece of property with a house on it here in Mesquite. Everything within the bounds of that property and house, from end to end, both seen and unseen, are under my control and responsibility, of course, to a degree. But from the foundation to the shingles, from the front to the back, from corner to corner, from the rocks to the trees, from the temperature of the air to the temperature of the water, they are under my control and responsibility. And while my timing of certain maintenance and where I keep the temperature in the house may make my wife doubt my love, none of these things stop it, okay? Well, the universe and everything in it, from end to end, both seen and unseen, are under God's control and responsibility. And while many things happen in this life that could cause us in our own fleshly weakness to doubt God's love, none of them can separate us from it. What persuaded Paul of that? Well, practically everything that he has taught since the beginning of this letter to the church at Rome. But particularly what he has taught since the beginning of chapter 8, and specifically what he has taught since verse 29. Listen to the beginning of verse 29. Only 9 verses earlier, he says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." Because of God's love for us, it is the work of God that saved us, and it is the work of God that secures us and keeps us. And nothing created can separate us from that love. Our passage lists them out: not death nor life. This speaks of the dimension of the physical and the spiritual being. The word death in the Bible actually means to be separated. When we die physically, our soul is separated from our body. When one dies spiritually, he is separated from God forever. Well, the love of God secures us in both our physical death and our spiritual death. While we as children may physically die one day, we will one day be reunited to our bodies and in glorified form, and we will forever be with God. In John 11:25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." On the other extreme, we don't normally think of life as a potential hindrance to our security, except when it brings us what was stated earlier: tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. And we've seen that none of those life dangers can separate us from the love of God. Not death nor life, not angels, principalities, or powers. This speaks of the seen and unseen dimensions. Angels is, of course, speaking of God's holy angels. They are mentioned here only in a hypothetical way to illustrate the extreme. It's the same hypothetical way that Paul used in Galatians chapter 1, where he talked about where even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Holy angels of God will never be a danger to us. The trouble or the hindrance is that we may not be able to tell the difference between an angel of heaven and a fallen angel. Okay, they masquerade as angels of light, the fallen angels do. But even the fallen angel, what our passage calls a principality, cannot separate us from the love of God. We may be deceived, we may be exploited, we may be oppressed, but we will not be separated from the love of God. Powers will not separate us. This could include people in high places of authority or respect, but probably speaks more of people with abilities and powers. Again, these things may deceive us, exploit us, and oppress us. But once we belong to God, there is nothing that can separate us from Him. Not present, nor things to come. This speaks, of course, the dimension of time. The past is represented by where we are right now in the present. And where we are right now in the present will impact our future. But none of these things will stop God from loving us. Not height nor depth. This dimension is a very, very broad one. It includes the bowels of the earth to the heights of the stars, the lows of despair to the heights of jubilation. It includes the finite to the infinite. No matter where we are, physically or emotionally, we are secure in God's demonstration of love. And then it goes on, it says, nor any other created thing. Just in case the dimension was not covered above, it's covered now. There is nothing in all of creation, material or immaterial, good or bad, friend or foe, that myself or someone else could do to separate me, us, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, it is not because of our love for Him that we are secure. It's because of His love for us. There is nothing that can separate us because there is nothing stronger than God. In closing this morning, just to play the devil's advocate for a moment, I want to point out what the devil might point out in this passage. It says, no created thing can separate us. But what about something that is not created? God. Devil might say God can separate you from His own love. And while that may seem to make some sense, we need to remember that it was God who already chose us because of His love. Because of His love, because He foreknew, He predestined, predetermined, called, justified, and glorified us. He did this by delivering His own Son to die on the cross for us. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And to believe that God would now separate us from His love would mean that God chose wrong. He made a mistake. And worse yet, it would either mean that Jesus Christ was not valuable enough nor strong enough to secure our eternity. Or He was a bad parent. He let us go. He let us go. No, we are secure. We are secure in all dangers, in all dimensions, and it's not because of our love for Him, but His love for us. In 1 John 4:10, it says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His own Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Jesus said in John chapter 10, He said, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." In John 6:39, Jesus said, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day." That's the kind of parent we have. It isn't our love for Him that secures us. It is His love for us. Therefore, like Paul, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are so undeserving of this. And Lord, if this promise was based on our love for You, we would be doomed. We would be doomed, Lord. We would be separated. But Lord, we thank You today for making it so abundantly clear that three times in these 5-6 short verses, that You tell us clearly that we are secure in these things because of Your love for us. Thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.